Welcome to A Link to Heaven Radio, where you will find the comfort knowing that the other side is but a whisper away, and a whisper away is your link to heaven. Now here is your host, your guide, critically acclaimed, world-renowned psychic medium, Robbie Thomas.
Hello, and welcome to another show of A Link to Heaven right here on BBS, where you tune in and tune up to the words of spirit. Each night we bring you the very best in broadcasting of realism, direct from spirit to your ears. A Link to Heaven Radio does just that with my many special guests that come on the show and offer many insightful, interesting topics of discussion. Tonight is one beautiful night. I have the crew of Dead Whisper, the guys who went with me, and girl, I should mention, who went with us. We all went together, and we went down to Chicago and Indiana, and we shot one heck of a film, 3 episodes. We did Al Capone's Speakeasy, we did Mantino State Hospital, and we also shot inside the Studebaker Mansion. There are things tonight we're going to talk about and bring to light that our listening audience can just go crazy over. It's fantastic. I just can't get the words out. And to start it off, I'd like you to all welcome my first guest, Michael Esposito, professor and scientific researcher with the Indiana Ghost Trackers. Michael, introduce yourself to our listening audience, and won't you please give us some of your background?
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. Basically, I study EVP. I got into EVP some time ago with a combination of interest in the paranormal and interest in the science of computers and building computers and analyzing noise types. Somehow it all seemed to fit together good.
And during, letting our listeners know of how you came to be a part of this fantastic project, let's start there.
Well, I've been studying EVP for years now, and I was introduced to you, of course, Robbie, and I've been familiar with Mike McDowell, among others, in the past, and done some private haunts with him myself, where we've collected quite a bit of EVP, and I was familiar with his work, and basically it was a natural choice.
Callers, that's toll-free, 1-888-268-4313. Or direct 530-876-322. Give us a call, and you can ask us a question about our beautiful filming and what have you we had down there, the scariest moments and what have you, or what goes bump in the night at your house. What intrigued you, Michael, into, I know when you say the project and what have you, but it was a good opportunity. And with Michael and all you guys are just fantastic. But, I mean, what really intrigued you about this opportunity?
Well, first of all, let me say it's incredible working with you. Not only are you a fantastic person, but you're extremely talented. I was completely impressed with the comments that you had to make long before they became factual. And the validity of them time and time again was just absolutely impressive.
Well, thank you. Thank
but one of the things that intrigued me most, I would say, is the combination of historical perspective as well as exploring a dimension, exploring a science that we're just sort of breaking into now. I look at my study in EVP not so much as a ghost hunting, but more or less as a quantum science, a science that we'll be heading more and more into.
It's amazing, isn't it? You know, capturing those EVPs, and I'm telling you, just not any recorders, but from the film. It's amazing. And the voices we caught, you know. And I'd like to let our listeners know we have a bunch of other people we're going to have on the show tonight, the rest of the crew. We can only do them one at a time. We were trying to do 3 at a time, but we can't do that with having the callers call in. but we're going to do one at a time. I'm doing Michael right now for the first 20-minute segment, and then I'm going to do Chris Mojica. He is a researcher, paranormal researcher with a huge background. And then we're going to bring Michelle. She is one heck of a researcher with the Indiana Ghost Trackers, and we're going to bring her aboard here in the last 20 minutes of the first hour. Now, Michael, your background and in the line of expertise you carry with you, what was the one thing you strive or that you did look for in the most in doing your work that we did here?
Well, I would say probably keeping the scientific, the laboratory experiment, trying to keep the situation as clean and professional as possible.
Certain perspective, right?
Well, yeah. It's important whenever you're in a laboratory or a field environment that you keep the situation you're in under control. You know, a controlled experiment or something that we could lend credence to, so the proof that we get is actually proof and not questioned not only by ourselves, but others.
Right.
Anywhere a combination of maintaining who is there, who's speaking, who's saying what, if there's any ambient or outside noises that come through, cars running by, birds humming, someone laughing, other noises. One of the things that I was trying to do is try and keep an eye on exactly how controlled the entire experiment was, and yet we were in some pretty strange places to be doing that.
Yeah, it was quite the adventure, and learning all how you do your work and how one should have that pause or break in between recordings and sentences and the way you talk and to be quiet at certain times was quite interesting. It really was. I learned a lot through the different aspects of the scientific realm of what you do. You know, can you elaborate a little bit more for our listening audience?
Sure. One of the things I think that is constantly impressing me, especially about doing field work, that after the field work is done, as intensive as that was, most of the work is done afterwards. In fact, I was just listening to recordings now, dissertating what was what and pulling out EVP. The spots we got were extremely rich in qualified EVP. In fact, some interesting EVPs. I just earlier said I got a rider, or actually a spirit voice that rode in on top of one of our researchers.
Wow. You know, I know we can't play any tonight. I didn't have time to set them up and what have you. But can you give us a couple examples of what were heard?
Well, the one that I caught as a rider tonight, one of our researchers was asking about an incident that the owner of the establishment had where he was literally almost pushed through a window. He was pushed actually through the window enough where the window popped out of its pane, and yet something pushed him back in. The researcher was questioning at the point where that happened, at the exact location, if the person had done that out of anger. And when she says anger, off beat, so just before she says anger and through when she says anger, very clear, very different, with a completely different tone, emotion, and voice, says anger.
Wow.
And it literally rides in on her voice, the energy from her voice, and also reiterates what she's thinking. So the question is this an entity reading her mind?
Right.
Is this an entity answering on top of her, you know, ahead of her question? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like if you were to ask me a question, I might answer ahead of you finishing the question.
Right.
So, you know, with this, like any other science, a lot of times one answer leads to 50 other questions.
Oh, it was amazing the stuff we caught. Like, you know, please help me. You know, it was clear as a bell. And this type of thing where we were talking, and when we come to a lull in our conversation. I know I wasn't in the room, but I'm going to let you tell us about that story. That was really cool. I'll start it off, and you can finish it.
Sure.
I was the first one to get up to the card room in Al Capone's speakeasy, the Bordello. And I put my clipboard down, and I looked down the hallway, and as I was coming out the threshold, I felt something brush by me, and I heard the footsteps. So I told Chris O'Brien, one of the researchers and filmmakers that's going to be coming on here, folks, in a little bit, where was everybody, and did he hear that? He said everybody was downstairs, and I said, well, get into the card room. I'm going to start turning the lights off going down the Bordello hallway. So as I was filtering down, turning lights off, the crew was coming up and filtering into the card room. And I got to the last light, and I was turning it off, and I'll let you take it from there. What happened?
Well, actually, that's a great story. Michael McDowell and myself were in the headmistress, if you were, the headmistress's bedroom, which was actually two doors over. And we heard the commotion after it happened. But as you were walking to the room, what everybody was exposed to is they heard a real loud F you. It was a lull in the conversation, and I guess it was a complete pause, and it was a very harsh F you. It's what we call a real-time EVP. They're extremely rare. I've experienced them in the past, and they're quite unnerving when you hear them.
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah. Because when I was called to get back in there as quick as I could, I ran down the hallway and got, I mean, I seen everybody's eyes, and it looked like an earthquake went through that room. Everybody was filming and recording each other's, you know, what their reactions were, and it was like shock on everybody's face. It was just amazing what I seen.
Yeah, I love the fervor when something like that happens. Michael and I, we also heard the commotion, and we rushed in as well. And everybody was busy. It was like a beehive that had been kicked. When you have situations like that, that's what happens. Professional researchers like we are, instead of going running or screaming for help, we're all grabbing for instruments. We're all grabbing for tools of our trade, cameras, recorders, what have you. It's like walking through a cold spot or something. It starts incredible fervor.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing. It was just totally amazing. And, you know, let's talk about the one you guys went up to the third story attic area there. That alone, too, that was a very shocking moment.
Right. Actually, myself and a researcher had been up there after we'd finally gotten permission to go up there. We were told that at first we weren't up, wanted, you know, that we weren't allowed up there, which of course made us want to go up there even more. But when we
wouldn't they? I was like, yeah. Keeping the candy away from the baby. You know
it was
what I mean?
A huge draw. And when we did obtain permission to go up there, we were up there, and we were doing some EVP recording and some filming, and we'd seen a rocking chair move. And so I wanted to get a camera up there with a tripod to set it on the rocking chair. We'd actually seen it rock, and I actually have an EVP where I ask if you made the rocking chair move, and the EVP says rocking. It's very clear.
That's unbelievable. Eh?
Yeah, it's one you haven't heard yet.
No, I haven't. I got to hear that one.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So anyway, Mike McDowell comes upstairs, and I ask him if he'll go down and give me a tripod and a camera. And in his haste to do so, he stepped into a small cluster of chairs, knocking one of them over. And as the chair falls, you hear a real loud, another F you. I guess they were.
They just didn't want you there.
I think that the language that, from the history of the place, the language that the people that inhabited that environment used would have been consistent with that type of foul language.
Right.
I think that was an everyday part of their language, and, you know, to respond with words like that wouldn't necessarily be out of anger or be out of not wanting us there, but just because that's how they communicated.
Hmm. Wow. You know, that's something. And, you know, it just brings me to another one where, like, I'm going to skip places now. We'll go to the Mantino State Hospital.
Oh.
And, yeah, I know, kind of unnerving itself. You know.
Yeah.
We're in the very first room, Jenny's room. And I know I was carrying on a conversation. And I'll let the audience know there is on film and recorded. I'm carrying on a conversation. I'm talking with Jenny, who has passed. And it goes for, I think, 30 seconds to a minute. And I'm talking with her, and I'm describing about her life upon the walls and whatever, and telling, you know, the words are inscribed all over the walls. And she goes, "We own the walls." And then I said to her, "Well, you suffered here." And she goes, "We suffered." It's all on tape and film. That's amazing in itself. But what was really amazing is when I'm sitting there and I'm talking and I'm pronouncing her name as Jeannie, and it's actually pronounced Jenny. And when I was corrected, she come across and said, "Thank you." Like, I can't believe that, you know. We go from one extreme of being told off to being, you know, thanked, you know. What'd you get of that?
That's also where you got, at that same, pretty much that same place is where I got EVP, where you're speaking, and you get a very clear, "Please help me."
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's a mixture of sadness and
horrific.
And interaction. It's a very desperate place.
Yeah, you felt it. Now, that's one question I had for everybody is, when we were in that place, I noticed, personally, because I really pay attention to feeling, because that's where I have to come in and feel and sense. But I noticed every one of you changed. Your persona, everything changed. I noticed everybody was in the, not, I'm not saying mellow, but everybody was right in the mood of the sadness. You guys became it. You felt it. We all, I seen the expressions. I seen the way everybody carried themselves. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I think a place, especially like Mantino, I felt extremely somber. I felt a lot of the residual energy from a lot of the pain and grief in the place. I think probably on a daily episode, a daily situation, there was so much pain, confusion, and grief that just permeated the walls and the ground and the ceiling of that place that it just felt heavy. You couldn't walk in there without, I don't want to call it possession.
Right.
But you do change your persona with the environment that you are in.
That's right.
We weren't walking into a White Sox game.
No, by far. Out of everything that we did filming, what was your favorite spot?
Favorite spot or?
Well, your most intriguing, most memorable, most freaky place that you want to remember.
Mantino's going to leave a scar.
Yeah, I believe so.
Mantino's going to leave a scar. Mantino, and just the one building, and to imagine, I think the whole time I was there, just to imagine how many buildings and how many square acres of land contain that same amount of psychic energy.
It's unbelievable, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, it's insane. Oh, pardon the pun.
I know. but yeah, you're right.
And the many decades that it existed, it was there, and all the changes it had gone through.
True. Yeah, that is. Well, we got 1 minute left with you, and then I'm going to make you a dead whisper, no pun intended.
Okay. I just want to say, again, working with you has been a complete pleasure, and I'm going to continue enjoying working with you. The whole crew was fantastic, Ron, everybody, just Chris, both Chris's, Michelle, Michael, of course, absolutely fantastic crew.
Yeah, they are.
I'd sign on board for that ship's voyage any day of the week.
Yeah, well, you know, me too. I find you know, you're incredible. Very down-to-earth, very realistic, and you look for the truth behind everything, which is fantastic. Now, one last question for you.
Sure.
And really quick, give our audience, in your words, what they can look for in Dead Whisper video.
They're going to be shocked. They're going to see something they've never seen before in any kind of DVD based on ghost hunting or even science. It's a perfect combination of psychic phenomena, ghost hunting, and science all wrapped up into one. They're going to see things that absolutely shock them.
There's nothing on TV like this.
No.
No. And there's nothing on TV captured at what we captured. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Michael Esposito, thank you so very much for joining me tonight. You are a pleasure. And again, I love the way you work. You're very professional.
Thank you.
I'm honored. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on your show.
You betcha. Have a great night.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, folks, that was one heck of an intriguing individual. Give us a call at 1-888-268-4313. Ask any questions about the sites we visited, what was recorded, what was filmed, what we felt, what we've seen. Give us a call. Our next person to come up will be Chris Mojica. He'll be joining me shortly here once we bring him online. And, working with Michael was one of the most, I would say, enjoyable things. I got to see behind the scenes what they do with the amount of computer work and science and lab work they do. It's amazing. It's very, very intricate. They took their time, long hours, 20-hour days. We worked long hours.
Robbie?
Yes.
You do know that we need to take you off the air in order to get your next guest on with you?
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so can we do that fast?
Yes.
Okay, folks, hang tough. We got a lot of good material coming up. I'll be right back. This will be just like a little fast 30-second break. Be right back. And welcome back, folks, to A Link to Heaven Radio, where we bring the realism and spiritualism right to you. My next guest, Chris Mojica of the Indiana Ghost Trackers, one heck of a researcher, film involvement. This recording individual has so much to him. I'm going to let him tell you himself. It was a joy to work with you. First of all, Chris, and welcome to my show.
Well, thank you very much. How are you today, Robbie?
I'm fantastic. Thank
Good.
You. Listen, tell us a little bit about yourself. Give our listeners a background of who Chris Mojica is and bring your credentials and throw them out there.
Okay. My background is in film and television. I've done a lot of, mostly TV. I went to school at Columbia College in Chicago. Graduated, I believe it was, geez, been so long ago, 98. And since then, I've been working at television stations, kind of directing the newscast, doing documentaries. I did a documentary called Calumet Castle a few years back. It was basically mansions in northwest Indiana. And that got played on a PBS station, so I was really happy about that. Basically, my involvement with Indiana Ghost Trackers, I've been with them for about a little over a year. And, I've always been fascinated with the paranormal. I remember growing up as a kid, I would always watch these classic horror films like The Exorcist and Poltergeist, all the classics. And, yeah, it would scare the bejesus out of me, but there was just a fascination with the supernatural. You know, why is it
right.
there? How is it there? How
right.
can it communicate with us? Why is it communicating with us? So that's always been a fascination of mine since growing up. Yeah, and so basically with the this project that we did, what was it, like 2 weeks ago?
It was about 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. And,
did you enjoy yourself?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was great. Honestly, that was the first time I met you. I met the crew, the production crew, and everybody just right from the start got along. I had a great time. I hope everybody else did, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and actually, that's the first time I've been to some of those sites that we investigated.
Pretty freaky, huh?
Yeah, actually, I knew a little bit about some of the sites, but not the real history, and it was just a great opportunity to get out there, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to get involved, was to go to these sites, obviously, to work with you. I read up on your bio before we went into production, also with working with Mike McDowell, head of the Indiana Ghost Trackers, the founder, I should say. It was just a great opportunity to work with him and a few other people in the organization. And, yeah, definitely something that I couldn't pass up.
Yeah, it was a pleasure working with you, I tell you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, because, you know, I looked at everybody in a different light, and it's not that I cast a shadow on each person and said, this is how they were, this is how they were, but you work very meticulously. You work very... very authentic in your way of doing things, meaning that you took your time, you sat back very quietly, you observed, you didn't sway either way, and you gave your opinion when it was asked, and you also forward your opinion when needed. And I'm telling you, your input was just perfect. It was right on. I couldn't ask for anything more.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was just a great opportunity to actually kind of sit back and watch. Yeah, I'm fascinated with television production, film production, so it was great to kind of watch the guys, production crews, do their thing, see how they were going about the whole production. It was awesome to see you at work, because this is the first time I've worked so close with a psychic, and actually I couldn't believe how accurate.
Was it psycho or psychic?
No, there were some psycho moments, but...
Oh, I hear you.
Yeah, but we could get into that later. But yeah, it was a great pleasure working with everybody. I had a great time.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It was, and you know, we got a lot of work ahead of us.
Yeah,
so
you know, I consider myself more of a, you know, I believe in ghosts and supernatural. However, I'm like one of the biggest skeptics.
That's what I like about you, and that's what you know. That's why I said you're very meticulous in your work, because you sat back and you waited and you formulated your own thoughts, and that was perfect. You didn't sway either way.
Yeah, there was a lot of times where, you know, you don't want to jump right, you know, and I think that's what gives ghost hunters a bad name, is that, you know, you get some kind of EVP, you cannot make out what it is, but you just are so animate that that's what it is. You know, this is a ghost speaking. Well, it could be a lot of things. It could be, you know, some... a plane passing by that kind of caused some kind of feedback in the microphone or the video. So I'm just skeptic. I like to see definite evidence. And we did get some definite evidence on our shoot. And actually, I believe all three places. So
yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I know. There's so much film to go through. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still have another whole hour to go through.
I know. Yeah, for you.
Yeah, but
you
looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, I know, because you get to see it firsthand, which is, you know, I envy you. I envy you. Well, you know, just like the one time I said, I'm sitting in the chair, and I'm saying, you know, there's spirits around me, and I know it is. Shoot it. There it is. Shoot it. And you shot it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's just first-rate knowing. You know what I mean? Like, it was just perfect. And that just shows people... and being recorded and what have you, that, you know, the other side's right there. It's not far.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and it was amazing. Like I said, this was my first time working so close with a psychic, that it was great to be able to have you say, okay, take the picture now. And I did, and actually there's something there. That was awesome, and that's what it's all about, ghost hunting. It's just finding that evidence that, yeah, this, you know, we are very close, and it's there. We just have to find that bridge.
That's right. It's amazing. It's amazing. Now, I asked a question to Michael, and I noticed when we were in, I'm going to swing us over to Manteno. When we were in Manteno, and we started getting there, everybody outside was fine, but as soon as we went into the building, I seen everybody change. I felt it, and I tried to separate myself from it and keep my distance, because I'm able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed each and every one of you went from being who you were. And it's almost like not becoming somebody different, but you changed. And did you feel that?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that, because In the other two places that we went into, both of them, I felt when we first stepped in through the door, I felt a feeling of comfort. And I'm not saying I'm psychic or I have any intuitions. I just got this feeling of, you know, being at home, you know, being welcomed. However, when we stepped into Mantino, it was just a totally different world. You know, I think all my senses were heightened, and you know, I was a little more cautious there than I was at the other two places.
Right. Yeah, and I noticed that was fantastic. Give our listening audience here a breakdown in your words, what they can expect on this DVD, this special edition. It's actually, folks, it's too hot for television because it's got a lot of vulgar language in it. It's got stuff that just can't be put on television. Although there is a lot going and go on television, this can't. These are just out of this world, clear as a bell recordings. Go ahead, take it away. Let them know.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I haven't seen. You know, I've seen all the other ghost shows, Taps, all the, you know, there's several out there. And I think what we did was something special, something different. And definitely with, because you don't hear these EVPs like on the other shows. And some of the EVPs that we got were like you said, vulgar. It was a little frightening at times because you wondered why we were getting that kind of reaction. And was it something we did? Was it something we said? Is it because of the spirits? You know, that's just the way they were in human form, so obviously that's the way they're going to be in spirit, the afterlife. So, yeah, it's definitely something that everybody should check out. It's going to be great. I think it's something that you want to sit home, turn down all the lights, and watch it. And I believe that people will, you know, feel the goosebumps.
Yeah, grab a security blanket and a good pair of pants.
Yeah, excellent. Right.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, I want to swing over back over to the Al Capone's joint.
Mm-hmm.
We went through there, and I confirmed many deaths and many killings in the exact spots, whatever, and they were all validated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only thing I can't validate, but I know what I can validate, was the individual brushed me, walked by me and into the card room, and everybody else filtered in, and I went down and turning off the lights. But you guys caught the tail end of what I wish I would have heard. Let them know what happened.
Yeah, it was incredible. This is one of the more incredible moments ghost hunting that I've ever experienced. As we were all walking into the card room, we were, you know, all talking, having conversations. We got inside, and for a split second, the conversation just died. I think we just paused for that moment, and in that moment that we paused the conversation, clear as you and I are speaking right now, it was a F-U. And
freaky.
Yeah, and I assumed that it was somebody listening to their EVPs, their electronic voice phenomena. And I thought, wow, that's an incredible EVP that you got. And as I'm looking to see who was playing it, nobody had their recorders in their hand. So I think all at the same time, you know, we all heard that clear as day. It took a couple of seconds for us to all realize what we heard, and we all looked at each other, and almost simultaneously we said,
well, you should have seen your eyeballs.
Yeah.
When you guys were screaming and calling me in, and I ran back down there, I mean, it was like either somebody won the lottery or, you know, I'm serious, or a ghost walked right by you. I'm telling you, it was something else.
Yeah, it was almost like winning the lottery because it's very rare that you hear that kind of disembodied voice speaking to you clear as day. A lot of times you'll get it on tape, video, but to hear it as clear as you and I speaking, that's just incredible.
Yeah.
And as soon as we heard it, I think everybody just grabbed their equipment. And unfortunately, you know, these things happen, but nobody had their video going, their tape player or tape recorder going, so obviously we didn't catch that one, that specific moment on any sort of media, but there were several others.
Yeah, it was amazing. I'm telling you, it was one amazing trip there. You know, what was even more amazing was 5:30 in the morning, I'm awake, or awoken by spirit, and this gentleman's telling me all this stuff to write down. It's personal that nobody, I don't care who or where you would research, you would never find this information. And I'm putting it all down, the birth dates of his daughter,
right?
When he was going to start construction upstairs to finish it as the gangster night, in quotes, and then the individual himself. And then when we go back, and I'm showing the owner this in the card room, he runs and grabs the picture, and he puts it on the table, and there's a whole bunch of thugs or gangsters, and then there's the baby sister of Al Capone. Al Capone sitting on the grass, and the individual I described to a T, and the dual meaning of his job, because he was called Paul Rica, the waiter, and I said he wore an apron, and he had a dual meaning to his job, just like the photo, and it was just the only photo that he had.
Yeah, that was incredible. It happened to at that moment, you were discussing that with the owner, Don. I had my video going.
That's right. And what did you catch?
Yeah, I caught all that on video, how you just had this date that came to you the day before, the night before, and it just happened to be Don's daughter's birthday.
Yeah.
And then also with the waiter, it was just incredible. It was mind-blowing that you were able to come up with these descriptions, these dates, and they somehow fit into Don, the owner's, and the facility's history. It was just incredible. And
it was amazing. You know, it doesn't matter. The borders of spirit, they just don't have borders.
Right. Yeah.
It's amazing.
And it's just the idea that that happened the day before or the night before at a whole different location, that, you know, that spirit came to you and gave you that information. Just incredible.
Yeah, it was. It just blew me away. And, you know, it happens like that. But, I mean, I looked at you guys, and you're all looking at me like, really strange. Why am I telling all this? And then when you brought out the film, everybody jumped, or the photo, everybody jumped.
That was amazing.
It was amazing. It was really cool. But there was, you caught something between me and Don, the owner. And that thing came down slowly, and it just went right behind Don.
Right. That was, I can't recall exactly which room that was. I think it might have been an office, what it was used for back then. I believe you felt that it was kind of a meeting room.
Right.
And so you're telling Don what you're feeling from this room. And at that moment, I catch this orb, something that is...
an anomaly.
Right. Just coming from the ceiling, slowly coming down, then speeds up, goes in a different direction. At first, somebody said that it might be a dust ball, which, you know, of course, yeah, you have to take everything into consideration.
Oh, most definitely.
It could be a bug. It could be a dust ball. It could be... you know, anything. But after further review, I could tell it wasn't a dust ball just because of the motion that it was going through. It wasn't a bug. And it just, actually, I reviewed it over and over again, and it seems like it comes down between you and Don and then ends up speeding up and looks like it's going straight into your chest. And, yeah, it was just incredible. I wish we can blow that up, and hopefully we will for the DVD and the TV show.
Yeah, definitely. And I know, folks, there's a lot more that he's caught on film that we're not going to talk about because we got to keep it secret. It's only part
Absolutely.
Of, you know, the parcel and package, and there's a lot of stuff here that's going to blow your mind.
And that's just the footage we've gone through. Like I said, I still have another hour to go through.
Yeah, and then, you know, you look at Ron and Chris, they got those other cameras of hundreds of hours, you know.
It's
amazing. In your own words, real fast, give me a 30-second breakdown for our audience, what they can expect, and, you know, your own thoughts on this whole project.
Well, like I said, the project was just a great effort by everybody. It was definitely something that I would love to do again. I think we have a good thing going here, that what we're doing is different from everyone that has a program on TV. What we're doing is something special. And, the audience can expect to see a lot of strange and unique things that we experienced. I think it's going to keep them on the edge of their seat. It's going to keep them wanting more, and hopefully that's what comes from this, are more series, more DVDs, because I think what we're on is definitely good. Just think about all the different things, different places that we can investigate. I mean, that was just three different locations, very haunted locations, and there's hundreds, thousands of other places out there. So I think that the audience is really going to enjoy what they see on this DVD.
I can't, you know, I wish I was a fly on the wall in these big networks right now.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, and them going, looking at this, going, we got to bid this.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. Listen, thank you, my friend. Folks, this was Chris Mojica. You know, it's been a pleasure. You are fantastic. I love the way you work. It's just so wholesome. Thank you very much.
Robbie. Thank you. It was a great experience working with you, working with the crew, working with Mike McDowell and the IGT members. Hopefully this is just the beginning.
Yes, we're going to be moving on to a lot more. This is just so cool. You have a wonderful night, my friend.
Okay, you too. Thank you, Robbie.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. Yes, folks, I'm going to get off the line one more time, and we're going to bring on Michelle. Be right back with you. And welcome back to A Link to Heaven, where we bring the spirit to you. And on the phone with me is the one, the only, Michelle Huff. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. You know, the ever-looking deep researcher that you are on the project to find the littlest wrong, let's say, or so we can debunk what was real or what wasn't. I watched how you worked. Tell us a bit about you and your background.
I have an education degree, actually. So I guess that has a little bit to do with me always wanting to look for real answers and using a scientific approach.
You're just a tough teacher.
I am a kindergarten teacher, so I'm a little bit easygoing.
Come on, I want an A, you know?
But, I'm getting ready to start my master's degree, and it's all research, so I have a research-oriented mind. I've been with Indiana Ghost Trackers for about a year, and prior to that, I did my own investigating before I found an organization to become a part of. But yeah, I definitely have a research mind, and I like to go in with a level head and, you know, look for things
I noticed
in a realistic manner.
Yes, and but very so, because you put me in my place a couple of times, and I thought, you know, wow, this is cool, you know. Now, I know through watching you work, right, and
mm-hmm.
the way that you instinctively search for the way, the very way out of a thing, or to say it wasn't real, or only brought you to say many times, this is an orb, and if you look closer, you can see the faces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very, very good work you do, I must admit. You know,
yes.
You really
Thank
drive
you.
Right into the essence of everything and describing everything. What drives you to be so distinctive in this way, Michelle?
Well, I feel like there are a lot of different groups out there today that are involved in paranormal research that come up with a lot of things that just leave the door open for skeptics to come in and say, no, you know what, this is what this really is. And I did not want to be a part of that kind of group. And, you know, everybody was so professional and so good at looking at things very in-depth in this group. And I was just trying really hard to do my part in keeping this very realistic and very real. Everything that we came up with as far as evidence, I feel, is very real and very validated because I, for the life of me, a lot of the stuff that we came up with, I cannot debunk it. I cannot come up with an explanation for it. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I think we need to put out there.
Not stuff
that you have chat rooms going trying to say, oh, that's not real.
Right. No, that's true. I want to bring you to Al Capone's place right now.
Yeah.
Okay. As me and the fellas headed off to the low in the ravine area,
mm-hmm.
in that bridge what we came upon, you stayed back.
Yeah,
and
I did.
You were snapping pictures in the area where they'd bring the people and, you know, hence the word, whack them. And, you know, I noticed you snapping pictures in meticulous ways and the way you wanted to do it. But then when you brought it out, you showed us faces in these orbs, like clear nostrils and eyeballs, and
mm-hmm.
and unreal.
Yeah, some of the orbs I came up with were just unbelievable, the best orbs I've ever seen. One in particular has a definite face inside of it, And, you know, orbs really, a lot of people, you know, have different views of orbs, but a lot of people look at them and say, well, that's dust or that's a drop of water. And I've seen a lot of pictures of orbs that are dust and water, and you can definitely describe it as dust and water, or, you know, flares of light from objects around us. But I came up with a few in that area that were absolutely not dust or water and could not be explained in that way. And you're really looking for something that's perfectly round, has its own individual nucleus, has several rings and layers to it. And some of the orbs that I came up with not only had those characteristics, but also one in particular that you're talking about had a face with nostrils. You could see the distinction of the nose. You know, it just looked like somebody was just, you know, knew I was there and was giving me the opportunity.
He was looking at you.
Yeah, I captured him. It was wonderful.
Yeah, he was saying, I'm going to whack you.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's how they talk better. You're going to whack
you. Yeah, you know, he did look very, very gangster-like.
He did, didn't he?
I really think he did. I could definitely picture, like, what era he came from, and you could definitely, I feel like it was definitely a male. It just had a male facial feature.
Yeah, it did. It was something else. I couldn't believe it, how you pinpointed it out. And your explanation of everything and the way you work is just, you know, so great. It's great.
No, thank you. Well, I'm very impressed with you as well.
Oh, thank you. My head's inflated enough.
Oh.
Yeah, from the last two guys, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, folks, give us a call. We're at I'm going to give the phone number for where we are. They can give us a call and ask questions. 1-888-268-4313, or if you can't get through, call 530-876-3222. The 1-888-268-4313 is anywhere in the world. Give us a call. If you get online, give us a call. Now, I want to jump to the instruments that you were using.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when I was in Al Capone's place and I said, you know, oh, I feel a cold over here, and you come over and you take the temperature reading. What was one of the instruments you used a lot during the Al Capone shoot?
You're referring to the IR thermometer. It's an infrared thermometer. So it's taking temperatures in the air around us. You can use the infrared to take specific pictures of objects, or I'm sorry, not pictures, temperatures of objects in the area, as well as just a general temperature reading of the air in the environment. You're really looking for cold spots when you're using those. These are usually like isolated and self-contained patches of air that feel significantly cooler than the area around it. And we're really looking for those cold spots. When we think about an entity trying to manifest, they're drawing in energy. Well, of course, heat is energy. And a lot of times it's associated before some kind of manifestation occurs that there is a temperature reading that is significantly cooler than the normal temperature. So we take base readings usually to try and get base temperatures from the area so we know what the normal temperature is in that area, and then we will know if there's a drop that's between 5 and 10 degrees, that's a significant difference in temperature.
We had them a few times.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Especially, there are several times that happened just right around where you were at.
They don't like me.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. They were out for you.
I think so.
Rico D is especially.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's what they're saying. You know, hey Gino, whack him. Get him out of here.
Really?
That's what they were saying.
Really? Seriously?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Tell me, what was the most freaky experience you found yourself during the film, and what was your favorite place you went to visit?
Actually, even though I feel like we had so much activity at Rico D's, my favorite place to visit during the entire shoot was definitely the Mantino Asylum. It was just a different feel for me there. As soon as you just entered the building, it was like it was speaking to you, and I'm sure you heard all kinds of things when you walked in. But I can't imagine. But and you just had this feeling of you know, sadness, and you really didn't feel that. I felt like at Rico D's, but definitely some things going on there. It was just such an extremely powerful place to be, and I felt, I kept feeling like I was followed. I know Michael Esposito was with me a lot when we were there in different locations with Christopher, and I kept looking at him and kept turning back and turning back, and he kept saying to me, are you okay? And I said, I really feel like somebody's following me.
And you know, I got to tell you something.
Yeah.
I have to tell you something. We went into the, well, you know how long the buildings were. And what have you. We were followed, and when I kept telling the guys, you know, the little girl that's following us, her name is Elizabeth, and Howard was one of the gentlemen that was had the cameras, and I said, you know, snap over there now, and he snapped, and we have yet to see the picture, but the guy's frantic. He caught the little girl in the picture.
I remember him saying that, But, yeah, I think she was following us all over the place because you could just feel like somebody, and it didn't feel threatening in any way. It just felt like you were being followed by somebody.
I know. It's amazing. You know
what we were doing.
Yeah.
It was almost, I don't know, at Mentino, it seemed almost like they wanted us to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. They were like, playing with us and toying us with us at times.
Yeah, exactly.
But although they did reach out and say, you know, please help me and, you know, I killed a lady and stuff like this.
Right.
You know, folks who are listening, there's so much that you guys will be able to see on this show, on this program. Don't pass it up. It's a limited edition, www.deadwhisper.com, and you will see how everybody changes. It's amazing. I noticed everybody's persona, their personality, everything change. And there's things captured on film and that never on television, and I'm stating it as a fact. And there's stuff that is on EVP and recorded on film. Michelle can even say this too, is
definitely.
There's nothing on TV like this.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? It's just something else. I was really taken back. I was going, oh my gosh, she's keeping a full conversation with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all caught. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
You know, amazing. Tell me, give our listeners, the audience, a total breakdown in your words as to what they are to expect if they do grab this DVD. And I want to know personally how you felt in the Studebaker Mansion. What did you get from there?
Studebaker Mansion was also kind of a different place from the other two places that we visited. At first, you know, on the first floor when we walked in, I didn't get the same feeling of, like, instant, oh, there's something going on here, until you get up to about the second floor, and then you definitely feel a difference. And it's definitely a place where you kind of never know what you're going to get into from room to room, because every room has a different feel to it, and every room has something different going on. Every room seems to have a different story behind it, and you were just amazingly hitting on a lot of the stories and things that were going on there that the owner of the property was confirming. And I know we were in the den area, and we picked up some amazing EVPs that you know, our listeners right now, if you know, really want to hear some of these amazing EVPs, very clear EVPs that were going back and forth and just having conversations with us as we're doing them, definitely you want to get this DVD, because it's the most amazing collection of EVPs I've ever heard. In fact, you know, most of the TV shows out there and DVDs and different things that they're putting out right now that have people that are, you know, paranormal researchers, they're not putting a lot of stuff on there that has a lot to do with EVPs. For whatever reason, I have no idea why, but you can really just hear the amazing things that are going on, and to me, that is undeniable proof that there's, you know, paranormal activity in the three places that we visited.
Well, Michelle, it's been one heck of a slice, and that's not coming from Al Capone's kitchen.
Definitely. Yeah.
Listen. Thank you so very much for being a guest on my show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It was a wonderful time working with you, and we're going to work much more together.
Oh, I hope so.
You know, thank you again. I can't, you know, say much more than that from my heart, because you are a very, very, very good researcher, paranormal researcher. You really are.
You are a very good person, and thank you for, you know, orchestrating all of this and really getting this all together and putting all of us together, because you guys are like a great, just an awesome group of guys.
Well,
really
thank
wonderful
you.
To work with.
Thank you, and thank you.
Okay.
Have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
And we'll be right back, folks, in a few moments. And welcome back to A Link to Heaven, where your heaven is the link that you're looking for, and the spirit and the realism's right here. And right now, right here, I got Ron James. How are you this evening, Ron?
Doing great, Robbie. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Folks, this is a premier film producer extraordinaire. You want to get into a mind. This is the mind to get into. And I'm telling you, it's very packed with a lot of stuff, and I'm telling you, it's crammed. There's so much... I can't even talk because this guy's so full of stuff. Like, I mean, the ideas and everything just flows. He's, like, really fast. I just can't keep up with this fella. But then again, he can't keep up with me because he knows what I got. And you know what? Give us a rundown of what you got. What is your background, Ron, and your expertise in this project that we just finished?
Well, you know, I've been in the television industry for a long time, and I've kind of fed up with what I see in the industry, so I secluded myself in Sedona to begin work on what I call significant projects, things that have some spiritual and implications of knowledge, and things that may be outside the mainstream, but may be more informative for people and more exciting for people who want more out of their media than just who got killed last week. So... that's where I'm at right now, and our trip that we just took to Indiana was very fruitful in all of that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And give us an idea. I'm going to pick a place. And I want to stay away from Capone and the Mantino right now. Let's just go right straight to the Studebaker Mansion. Not on the level of what I could get across. What was the air that you felt in that place?
Well, Studebaker Mansion, out of all three, was probably the least what you'd call traditionally spooky. It was a very beautiful building. It had all the makings of a classic haunted house. It just didn't have a huge amount of haunted energy, I felt. But it was also the place where you came out as a shining star in your psychic abilities. I saw you walk into a place that you had absolutely no background on and almost relive the past and bring things to light that, you know, only people who were there could have known. And there was enough of the things that you said and spoke about that the caretaker was aware of that there was just no question that you were totally plugged in to the history of this place.
Well, it was true because, you know what, I'm gonna elaborate a little more on that because you kept telling me, where are you looking? And you got to look, you know, get towards the camera. But in my eyes, when I walked into the place, it was the room, but it was transformed back into those days. And it was like, oh, my gosh, I can see all this stuff around. And then when I said, you know, I hear all the children, but not the kids that live there, overabundant kids, and I can hear them all around me. And he said, that's when they had made that a daycare place for the handicapped.
Yeah, it was truly amazing to watch you do that and to see the person that worked there, the caretaker, I can't remember his name, but he's just nodding his head in amazement as we go room to room. I go into these situations where we shoot, I have a very neutral kind of a standpoint, and, you know, it's my job to go there and document it. And when I see things actually pan out into such a reality, it's very exciting.
Yeah, it even took me, it really did, because it was coming so quick. And we that place, we should have walked through it a little bit slower, but we actually walked right through that place one right after another.
We did. I think the one of the most impressive things for me was when you walked into this one section and you said meet and greet. And, you know, there was really nothing about the room that anybody could just look at it and assume. But then for the caretaker to validate that was actually a room that was used for meeting guests as they arrived at the mansion. And then he explained the whole thing about how that worked. It was that was just an incredible hit.
Yeah, it was amazing because it felt like I was pulled over there. And do you remember me putting my hands like the way they would hold their coat or something?
Uh-huh. And actually, you know, if you look at old pictures, you see men very, very often holding their hands both, you know, fist to fist with their hands on their breast and their elbows down. And that's a very traditional, respectful way of standing. So
That was amazing.
Yeah, it was dead on.
Wow. You know, I want to know about what was your most impressive moment out of all the filming we did that captured your attention.
Out of all of the places?
Yeah.
I'd have to say it would be the disembodied voice in the Al Capone hideout. That was just one of those situations where you had to have been there to really feel the impact of the experience. But to hear a voice just come out of nowhere and to be, and believe me, I was looking for every logical explanation. I wanted it to not have been a legitimate situation. But between hearing the voice in a room with several other people who also heard it, and the fact that the actual electricity in the air was creating goosebumps and chills for everybody in the room, which I believe is an obvious sign of a paranormal phenomenon at work, I think that was the most impressive experience of the whole trip.
Yeah, it was amazing. All I got, I remember you peeking out the corridor there and yelling down, come here, and I missed it, but what I got was the brushing. I felt the person brush me, and I heard the three steps going into the place. So I got that much out of it. I wish I would have heard the voice, something else. But that whole joint, the bordello, it just had that air about it up in that second floor there. There was so much killing, so much, you know, you just didn't want to go there on a Saturday night to have a beer. You know what I mean?
No, that place was definitely all about serious business. And with the rich history that it has, you know, it's just one of those places that so many things could have happened, and a lot of them obviously did. So it was one of those places. It's off the map. You won't see it on the mainstream ghost shows, but it is just a genuinely haunted place. And you know, I walked into this whole thing expecting nothing, and so when these things began to happen, I was definitely amazed.
Yeah, that leads right into my next question for you. I was going to say, how was it watching the crew come together like that, and you know, in the intricate way that we did? Did it flow like you expected, or you know, was there any moments more so than others?
Well, I think any time that you just bring together a group of relative strangers, and you know, I go on shoots all over the place, and sometimes they're good and sometimes they're bad. And the thing that really makes it good or bad isn't so much rather things happen or not, but it's the chemistry of the group. And I was completely amazed at how everybody just fit together. We were laughing and joking, and then when it was time to be very serious, everybody was professional. And it was just a fantastic shoot. I can't wait to do more with these guys. They're just it was just a really wonderful experience to get together with a bunch of people and have everybody get along and have things pan out. I think that there's probably some kind of collective energy that was forged by the group that actually opened up doors to make some of the incredible things we caught on video happen.
Right, right. You know, nothing like eating turkey sandwiches and drinking coffee.
Right.
You know, we had some long hours there, didn't we?
Those turkey sandwiches were pretty good for a 7-Eleven.
Oh, you know what? Anything was good at 4 in the morning.
It was. We were definitely working around the clock, and it was quite a grind, but sleep when you can, work when you have to.
Oh, yeah. I think sometimes we only had, like, what, 3 hours sleep at the most?
Yes.
You know, that was difficult, you know. Callers, 1-888-268-4313. Call in. Ask a question. We have award-winning Ronald James on my show. Give me a call. He'll answer your questions. The guy's got credentials coming out of the wazoo. That's probably a word that Al Capone would use. You know, he whack 'em in wazoo, right?
I don't know. I don't think he probably whacked too many people in the wazoo. I think it's much more effective between the eyes.
I think so too.
Lock him in the wazoo, then we'll kill him later.
Yeah, right. Take him out back, Louie. Oh, brother, that's funny.
Can you imagine that as a job? Well, what do you do? Well, I'm Al Capone's wazoo whacker.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no doubt. You know, I'm going to tell you something. That time we went in the back area there, and we walked to the ravine and the bridge area, and I had Chris Mojica in front of me. I think he was about 10, maybe 15 feet at the most away from me. Clear as a bell, I heard, stay away, stay away. And then when I said that, he came to me. And I felt the eyes around, and then Mike McDowell came with that reader. What's that reader? Can you explain that reader, what it is?
I think that was a triple field electromagnetic field detector, and basically what it does is it scans the spectrum of EMF in the area. And it's theorized that spirits and apparitions could perhaps have an EMF generating capability that's detectable on certain levels. And he definitely got a spike in the unit as he came to you.
Yeah, he did. There was no wires ahead. There was nothing around, you know. I tried to look there because I was really concentrating on not tripping over the branches and what have you in the dark and going through. And it was so clear, I froze. And I thought, okay, this is it. You know, here's one here. What do you want? You know, it was amazing. They're inside. They're outside. They just didn't want us around.
Yeah, they definitely, what EVPs we got were obviously suggesting that. And then, of course, the overall air. I guess normally the owner has managed to turn that into a very upscale, successful business with a good feel to it. But when we went looking for spirits, we definitely found them.
Yeah, I think we invoked them. Especially the two upstairs in the attic area. What was amazing, I got to tell you this, when we were up there, you were up there with the camera, and I sat down in the one chair, and I said, you know, it's really funny because there's a stash in the floor, and the guy's nickname is Stash. And then when we were leaving at the end of the night, the owner said he did some research or something, and Mike McDowell was standing beside me, and he goes, one of the guys that died up there was Stosh. And that was just a validation. Mike was jumping up and down, grabbing my arm, going, oh, my gosh, that's the guy's name you said. You know, it's just so funny that, you know, when me and you first got there, we went on the landing, and I couldn't go up because I seen the two entities. And I said, they said it's a promise. We can't come up here. And so we backed away, and I thought, okay, I'll respect that. But then later on going up there, I figured it out why they went up there. They still feel there's a stash of drugs, or their drugs are there. You know what I mean? But that's in the old days.
Yeah. The drugs have probably outlived their shelf life.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. But it's funny how they react, you know, and it really is. Out of all the filming we did and recording, what was your favorite place you filmed, and what was the most mysterious place you liked?
It was absolutely Manteno. Since I've gotten back, I've done a lot of research on the place, and if there was ever a place that deserved to be haunted, that would be it. Just the air and ambiance, even if the building's in their current condition, you could feel in the air the weight of so many wrongs that have been done to people. And it was definitely crawling with energy.
Did you notice everybody's change in their persona?
Well, it was the solemnness that came over the group. And almost a... I wouldn't say, like, people were scared, but it was like, you know... Everybody was wondering what was going to happen next, and you actually had a mindset where it wouldn't have surprised you at all to turn around and see somebody standing there half transparent.
True. It was amazing some of the pictures we got and some of the even the recordings and on film of people saying, oh my gosh, the steps are down there now, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, it's amazing. And you know, we've captured so much of this on video, on EVP, with amazing photographs that clearly show abnormal apparitions and entities, and I really encourage people to go to our website, Dead Whisper, and pick up a copy of this DVD. You know, right now we're doing it in such a way that if you buy the DVD, it's a two-disc set. It shows all three of our trips through these places, some paranormal phenomena that will absolutely amaze you, and then we've added a bonus disc with some more information that you can analyze yourself, still pictures, actual library of EVPs. And we're throwing in a free audio book of ghost stories. And for the first 1,000 people that order the DVD, they will be autographed by the entire crew. This is an opportunity for people to get a real collector's item. It's really starting to take off. People are very, very interested in the film. And I really suggest everybody go to deadwhisper.com, help support our work, pick up a copy of the DVD. It's free shipping, and it's a great little package for a fantastic price.
And that's all over the world, isn't it?
Yes, anywhere in the world, we will ship it to you for free. And like I said, the first 1,000 people will get a copy of the DVD that is actually autographed by you and me and both Michaels from the Ghost Trackers and Chris O'Brien, and so it's going to be a really nice package for people.
Yeah, I really, you know, it's going to be a collector's item. You know, there's nothing, and, you know, I had a chance to talk to a couple people that are in this business as well, and they said, you know, when I described and I let them listen to some of the EVP, they were blown away. There's nothing on television like this.
And no, there isn't.
They're just saying, oh, my gosh, where'd you go? Like, did hell come through? And I said, no, this is real. You know, and they go, we know, Joe, we can hear. And I said, you know, it's just amazing. I said, yes, it is. It is. And we got it. We got it on film. We got it on a recording. We got even snapshots. It's just amazing.
Yeah, you know, you see these ghost shows on TV, and they deliver everything but ghosts. And so, you know, this is a program that will absolutely leave you pondering for yourself the evidence. And it's a great watch. It's not overly scary, but it's got its moments, and it's great entertainment for everybody.
I got one big last question for you. Anytime during the filming, were you touched or felt anything near you, let's say, as either, because I remember one occasion, and I want to see if you can bring it up, as the way either me or one of the others would say, I felt someone walk by me.
Well, actually, there was a couple of times. Once in Manteno, when you were talking about the entity that was very protective of his corner, that was a time when I definitely felt a presence. Another time was at the Al Capone hideout when we walked into the child's room.
Yeah,
definitely felt a presence there. And for me, I believe that the human body has its own level of detection built in. For some people, it might be goosebumps. For some people, it might be something else. For me, whenever I'm in the presence of spirits that are somewhere in between here and there, I feel a pressure in my chest. And sometimes also I will feel the goosebumps. But I think that all people have that, some kind of ability to sense on a level we don't quite understand yet, when we're kind of standing in a place where the walls between this dimension and other dimensions might get a little thinner. And so those were two places where I definitely had those sensations. And there were some others, too, but those were the two that really predominantly come out when I think about it.
Hit them again with the website.
It's www.deadwhisper.com. It's a fantastic value. It will help support our work. And I suggest everybody go there, take a look, and get the DVD. You'll be very happy that you did.
They'll have to buy a box of the pens, really.
That's right, and I'm afraid with the free shipping we cannot include those.
Thank you, my friend. You've been a pleasure, and you know, I'm glad I had you on my show. Everybody, this is Ronald James, and I'm telling you, award-winning film producer extraordinaire. I'm just so lucky to have been able to work with him, and you know, Ron, thank you.
Thank you. Yep, we specialize in spiritual and paranormal type of productions. We're trying to help illuminate some of the contemporary spirituality and show people that we're living in a world where we're all unified. And so, you know, if you're interested in contacting me, you can find my email on the Dead Whisper website. And thanks, Robbie.
No, thank you, my friend. And we'll be talking to you tomorrow.
Okay.
God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Have a great night.
Bye.
Well, hello? Folks, that was Ronald James. What a pleasure, I'm telling
hello?
You.
Hello?
And hello?
Hello?
Hello, we have a caller. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fantastic. You just missed Ronald James. He kind of hung up on us.
That's okay. I can ask you this question. I've been listening not only to this show, but to other shows.
Okie doke.
And I heard about the Dead Whispers and those children and other people that you talk about. Are they stuck there? Can they not pass over?
At Manteno? You're talking about the place at Manteno State Hospital?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a wonder why the faiths, like, you know, whatever religion or whatever, has not gone out there and blessed these grounds. They are there. I know we're going back, and I'm going to release some more. The way we went about it. Pardon?
You can help them pass over?
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. I've done that in different places that I've done paranormal investigations with. There were so many, and I'm telling you, it was so draining. I would have to be there for a month just to get rid of them. There were so many. But the ones that I did come across, I said prayers for, and I asked him to reach for the light and go home.
Robbie?
Yes.
Did you want me to get your next guest on, or?
Yes, could you?
Okay, I'll go now. And
yeah, no, the caller can stay online.
No, caller,
and
you
wait.
Can stay on.
Okay.
The caller can stay on and wait.
Okay, you can get my next guest. Thank you. Yeah, that's what I plan on doing. That's, in fact, what I told my wife.
It must be a very difficult profession that you have. Draining. Hello? Hello?
Yes, hello. Just stay there. Okay?
Okay.
Stay on the line.
Okay.
Welcome back to A Link to Heaven Radio. I have Chris O'Brien, D. Chris O'Brien, online with me. And I also have a caller, Chris, that just asked me a question about releasing the energies that were there at Manteno that were trapped. Just give me a second, and I'll be right with you, okay?
Okay.
Are you still there, caller?
I am.
Okay. Chris, what's your first name, caller?
Deborah.
Deborah. Chris, meet Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Chris.
Chris is a very renowned individual in the paranormal realm for many, many moons, and I'm talking many moons. He's an expert. We had the opportunity to meet and work with each other, which is just the greatest thing in the world. But your question I want to get to was, we're going to go back there, and I'm going to make sure that we go back there. I listened to some of the voices, the disembodied voices on tape and everything, and I was kind of taken back, and I did do some releases. I asked them to go. Chris, I think, was with me when I did a couple. I asked them to go to the light, not to stay here. I was up in one of the rooms.
Right. Mr. Wilson wanted your hat.
Yeah,
so
Mr.
Wilson. You offered him your hat.
That's right. That's right. So I have to go back, and I'm going to have to go and release them as many as possible. It hurts me to see them there like that, Deborah. It's very difficult, but somebody has to go there and do something that's right in this life, and we got to take care of our brothers and sisters that are trapped. So, yes, you're right. I am going back.
And do the people in your crew, Michelle and Ronald, do they do releasing too?
Michelle and Ronald, no. Michelle's more of a scientific approach to it. Ronald is the film producer. The only one who's actually psychic beyond, well, Chris is as well, but to do the releasing, I think I'd be the one who'd be do the releasing.
How come they need an extra person to release them? Can't they do it on their own?
You mean the ones that are trapped here?
Yes.
The ones that are trapped here, let's put it this way. This place they died in was very horrific. They used to experiment on people, taking them from boiling water, and they used to wrap them in restrictive clothing that they couldn't move.
Yes.
Submerge them in boiling water, and then take them out and put them in freezing cold water just to see how the body would react. They tortured them.
I guess it goes beyond that. In Germany, it would be the same.
Yeah, it's amazing. So I am definitely going back out there. And we're going to do some releasing. They need to be guided. They need to be told where to go. I'll give you a fast breakdown because I got to interview Chris here. I was in the one room, and I said to the lady, they're in here in the walls. Her name's all over the walls here and her life story. And she goes, we own the walls. So that's where she's stuck. She needs to be told to go home. So that's just an example. But thank you for calling me, Deborah. And I wish you a great night.
Okay, good luck with your work. You do great work.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a wonderful night. God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Christopher.
Hey, Robbie. How you doing?
My main man.
Hey,
I'm doing fantastic. Listen, give us a breakdown. Who is Christopher?
I'm just your average gumshoe. But
no, you're not.
Highly motivated.
No, very much so.
I do pride myself on my meticulous documentation of investigative work that I've been doing since the early 90s. In a nutshell, I arrived in south central Colorado, way up high in the mountains in the world's largest alpine valley. It's called the San Luis Valley. And for the next, 10 years, I worked with law enforcement and scientists and ex-military people and a whole network of sky watchers and others who fed me leads on, real-time cases a lot of the times and real-time events, and amassed a 77,000-word event log, which is online, and tmv.us, T as in Tom, M as in Mary, V as in Victor, .us. And as a result of, I would say full-time investigation, although I had a full-time job and, a girlfriend and a family and stuff, and was able to somehow spend the amount of time it was that was needed to investigate. I never really did count how many cases, well over 1,000, that I went out on, including 200 reports of unusual livestock deaths. The media likes to call them cattle mutilations, but unfortunately for the animals, it wasn't only cattle; it was deer and coyotes and pigs and sheep and elk, and even had a weird case with a chipmunk, believe it or not. And was able to work with a crack team of world-class scientists trying to get to the bottom of this unusual animal death phenomenon, which I refer to as probably the world's greatest unsolved serial crime spree. Since 2000, there's been approximately 5,000 cases that have been reported in South America, mostly in Argentina, and in Brazil, rather. So as a result of all that work, I wrote a couple of books, which are still doing pretty well. The Mysterious Valley was the first one, and Enter the Valley was part two. And, one of the things that has always, one of the areas of investigation that's always fascinated me, Robbie, as you well know, is hauntings and the restless souls that are trapped in particular locations. And
just like that lady was talking about.
Exactly. And interestingly enough, the first house that I lived in for almost two years in Crestone, Colorado, where I moved to, was haunted, and I had some pretty up close and personal experiences with the actual owner of the original owner of the house, who died on the toilet upstairs and was trapped in the house. And as a result of that experience, I'm a healthy skeptic. I don't believe in a lot of this stuff that you see out in the internet and on TV and what have you, but having investigated personally just a bewildering array of paranormal occurrences in south central Colorado and north central New Mexico, I've come to accept the fact that there are a lot of things going on in reality that we don't have a real handle on scientifically, and so this whole area of hauntings and very compelling evidence that Michael Esposito and Mike McDowell, I'm sure, have talked about on the show of electronic voice phenomenon, I feel is a real exciting scientific field of investigation and study, and it was a real pleasure to go out with you, Robbie, and with the Indiana Ghost Trackers and Ron and produce this Dead Whispers video. I'm really excited at at this whole taking this type of investigative work to the next level and presenting it to the public with no filters. And,
it was amazing.
And I really feel that we're on to something here, and we have a crack team, and I'm really looking forward to working with everyone.
Well, I look at it in this perspective. Those who are wholehearted spiritually and they want to reach out and help spiritually without wanting the financial gain and whatever, to go through all this thing, like the big stigmata, things happen. And when you're blessed that way,
exactly,
things happen correctly, because that's the way it's meant to be.
Exactly. And
that's
a really very important point, Robbie.
Yeah. It truly is. You know, we went out there with love in our hearts, and that's what we did. You know what I mean? And we went out, and there was just so much. It was like, it's like walking into a candy store, and there's 50,000 kids, and you got two candies, and everybody's running at you. That's what it was like. You know,
yeah.
All the entities, the spirits, it was just
yeah,
amazing.
You really have to approach it from a place of unconditional love and from a place of acceptance of things that you cannot change, but with a resolve to change the things that you can, but of course to the positive. And just to give you an example of what you're talking about in terms of how I've been approaching my particular life process and my investigative work is I've never made a single call to promote myself to the media or to anybody. I've just allowed my work to speak for itself. And in that way, you're not, you're not adulterating, you know, the purity of the process. And of course, you know, as you very rightfully point out, that is really crucial. And I think Hollywood and a lot of the big name paranormal investigators who rely on their investigative work and the promotion of that work to pay their bills and other things, you start to get into a gray area of, you know, sort of creating theories and then having to go out and support them to support yourself. And I've really made, you know, a Herculean effort not to do that. And, you know, I could have capitalized on my, you know, 35-plus TV appearances and blah, 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 and all the hundreds of radio shows I've done. I could have promoted myself and tried to make money off this, but to me, that's anathema to what really needs to be done in the approach that we all need to take to take this whole thing to the next level.
Well, that's what I said when I said I didn't want the Holly wish wash. I didn't want that type
that's
of
a good
feeling.
Way of putting it.
And we all fell together. We all went into a nice little huddle, and it just worked out perfectly, you know.
Yeah, and what a team.
Yeah, it really was. It was a great time. You know, there's a lot more work coming. It's just amazing. And I had foreseen this, like, years ago. And I know, and it's coming now, and I'm going, you know, the fruition of this is just unbelievable. It's finally here, and I'm going to be able to do more work spiritually and help out more in this fashion. And we all are. Like,
yeah.
Each of us have our job to do.
Yep.
You know, it's amazing. Now, I want to get to the point of Mantino. We're walking and we're filming. And this was the second time or third time I said, somebody brushed me and walked by me and went into this washroom area. So me and Michael McDowell went inside. We were taking readings. It kind of spiked in one area a little bit. And then there was a bump. And I looked out the one door, and I'm trying to see if I can open the door, and I couldn't. You get the expression on Michael's face, and he kind of twinges, and then he goes back to reading, and then there's another bump. And he looks again out the little window, and then there's a bigger bump, and his whole facial expression just changed. And then that's when you said, oh, my gosh, they just ran by us down the hallway here.
Well, yeah, they approached – actually, they approached it whatever it was, made four very distinct crunching footsteps in pitch black. I mean, your listeners should realize that we are in a place that is darker than dark.
Yeah,
and the only light really was the video lights, and which were mounted on our cameras. And Chris and I were in the doorway, basically pointing into the room, and my left ear was, you know, wide open to the huge, you know, 150-foot space that was in the dark to our left. And both Chris and I heard these very distinct footsteps on crunching, you know, material. You know, the place is, you know, ramshackle, and there's lots of debris on the floor, and you can hear somebody walking very easily. And I initially, you know, my instant reaction was, you know, it's the other group sneaking up on us in the dark, but that didn't kind of make sense. And as soon as I thought that, then instead of a fifth footstep, I heard like masonry, like brick sounds of somebody hitting a small pile of bricks and knocking them a little bit. And, you know, I said to Chris, what? Did you hear that? What was that? And we both looked at each other, and that's right when we realized, oh, my goodness, you know, there's no way that somebody just was able to approach that whole distance in the dark and then only you know, we could only hear them for the last like 20 or 30 feet that they walked, and that it definitely, you know, put a chill in my feathers.
No, it did. I know. It was something else, you know. Out of all the places, what was your favorite?
Well, that's kind of a rough term for me to. none of them were my favorite. In fact, you know, it's not the Studebaker Mansion in terms of just a really neat place to go and hang out. Maybe would be my favorite because it's a National Historic Site. It's gorgeous. There's a really nice restaurant and it's really well maintained. Manteno, I think, had this undercurrent of tension of just restless souls that was very, very difficult for me to try to put out of my mind. In terms of just, bang for the buck, I mean, Rico Diaz was a thrill a minute. I don't know if
no
Michaels,
pun intended.
Yeah. I don't know if the Michaels mentioned, the three of us when we were downstairs investigating the actual restaurant area. When I felt a presence right behind me, looking over, I felt like it was looking over my shoulder into the viewfinder of the night vision camera that I was operating, and I mentioned it to both Mike Esposito and Mike McDowell. And at the instant that I mentioned it, Mike McDowell's trifield meter went spiked, and then it happened again. Rico Diaz, I think, in terms of looking at it from an investigative point of view. Is the most compelling place. Manteno just has so much going on, and there's so many restless souls kind of fighting. It's like a King of the Mountain kind of feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
There.
Yeah.
And, the ones that end up on top in that place are the ones that really need to be addressed to help. I think I got the feeling psychically, for lack of a better term, but my sensitivities picked up. That there's a lot of souls that are being held in check by other souls.
Yeah.
And those souls need the souls on the top of the that ghostly pyramid need to be addressed. And that Manteno was the place that really creeped me out the most. Rico Diaz is pretty straight ahead, but I'm telling you, we're going to be able to get some really good things there again when we go back there.
That's right.
I feel that we really intruded on a place that. That really needs some help, that the kind of help that you can provide. There's some real nasty nasty entities there that made no bones about voicing their dislike for our presence. I mean, to have to be cursed at in the same way several times, fairly straight ahead in terms of looking at it and realizing that maybe these souls aren't really happy that we're there. Manteno is just a huge, awesome cesspool of restless, disembodied,
voices.
Souls, for lack of a better
souls,
term.
Yeah. Guess what? I'm going to make you a dead whisper. Give us the website.
Which one? Deadwhisper.com or?
Deadwhisper.com.
Yeah, well, we're trying to get as much of this information out and the results of this investigative work out to the public,
so they can
with
see
no
the realism.
Present it just like it happened.
That's
not
right.
Like Hollywood
exactly.
Wants you to think that it happened, but exactly the way it happened. Uncut, unabridged.
True.
Just give it to you the way it went down.
Well, Chris, listen. Thank you very much
Hold
for
on.
Being a guest on my show. I got to get Michael on here now. It's been a pleasure. You are a wonderful individual and a great, great researcher. And, the insight you have is just fantastic. I can't wait to work with you again.
Cool, Robbie. I appreciate you having me on. Look forward to it.
Yeah, great. Good stuff, dude. Have a great night.
Okay, you too.
God bless. Well, folks, we'll be right back. We're going to have another special guest with me. Stay tuned for Michael McDowell. welcome back to A Link to Heaven, and welcome my next guest, Michael McDowell. Hello, Michael, and welcome to my show. It's so nice to have you here.
Hello, Robbie. It's great to be here.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. How's your evening?
Very good.
Fantastic.
Good.
Are you ready to tell a real true story to everybody?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Right on. I want you to take it from Rick O'Dee's. I know that's your favorite place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know Mantino is, well, they all are. They're all fantastic.
Yeah.
But let's start up in the upper area where you got told off.
Okay. Well, as Michael was kind of relating a little bit earlier, I had gone up into the attic area, and as I was heading up into the attic, again, this was a place where the owner, Don, felt that a ghost had tried to push him out of one of the windows. Now, he was very hesitant to let us go up there to begin with, setting the stage on this. It was a place where he felt the ghosts were, if you will, a bit anxious about allowing him to bring groups of people up there. So as he allowed us to go up hesitantly for the show, we had started to kind of trickle up there, and Michael and Michelle were doing their EVP. And as I kind of went up the stairs there, I captured a voice on my recording as I was just running my tape recorder as I entered the area. And the voice on the recording clearly said, Jesus doesn't want me. And as we reached into the attic area, and Michael had talked about how he saw the chair rocking and some other things that were going on there, I had kind of walked over to join them. As we got over there, I talked to Michael about what he wanted to do, and he said, you know, maybe we'll set up a camera here. And as I started heading back downstairs, I bumped into a chair that's lying broken on the floor. And as I did, my tape recorder picked up the FU, which I'm told that, you know, has been verified not only on my recorder but on other recordings. And again, then later on that night, we had the same, we can only guess it's the same entity that clearly said the obnoxious language. Now, and also in relation to that attic, you were correct in earlier stating, we first got there, I saw you heading up into the attic, and I went to warn you about, let's talk to Don about this first and make sure he's all right with you going up there. Before I even said anything to you, I could tell by a look on your face something was stopping you from going up there.
Right.
And you related to me this, that this thing was not allowing you to go up there, that there was, as you said, two presences that said, no, you cannot enter. And it's
pretty amazing.
You know, and this is a very interesting place. We've always gotten a lot of EVPs and recordings there. Not always, but it's a place I've gone over the last year, and I've begun to take recordings there, and I've had very good luck. So I was really hoping for an eventful evening. And, you know, I hope everybody seemed to get something out of it. We had some occurrences downstairs during the night when we were investigating. We felt that there was a presence down with us in the dining room and had our EMF meter spike. We had a recording there of something that said, can you see me? So many different things that occurred that night for us there.
Yeah, it was amazing, wasn't it?
Yes, very much so.
Michael McDowell, CEO, president of Indiana Ghost Trackers. You know, your background stands alone. Very, very great background. I know about you. I was amazed. I was very happy to be working with you. I thought, you know, wow, why didn't you come into the picture and to begin with? You know, like, this was just something else. And it's just funny how fate has its way. You know, it's meant to be. Because you know why? Look what happened. Look what we got to do. In, it's just amazing, the amount of spirits and everything. It's just not, I feel, that we were just pushed this way. But, I mean, it happened for a reason because we were tied. We all went there. We were all unified. And we all got great results.
Right. Correct.
Give us a little more about your background.
Well, the Indiana Ghost Trackers was something that was kind of a brainchild of mine. I had begun ghost hunting a little bit back in around 1998. I had, on accident, I guess, if you will, kind of taken a ghost picture
at the gravesite of Daniel Boone in Defiance, Missouri. I was out on vacation. I had to go see his grave. I felt, to me, he was one of the more important forefounders of this country, and I needed to see it. You know, it was something compelled me to go visit his gravesite. And when I got out there and cleared some leaves off some headstones right across from where his was at in the cemetery and took a picture, when I got the picture back, there was this misty face on top of the fence post. This led me into, you know, debating what was actually going on in this picture. And as I became more intrigued with it, this was also the time a paranormal group started to appear on the Internet. The Internet has basically paved the way for the paranormal groups of today. People who were thought of as, I guess, being somewhat sketchy or nuts and used to do this on their own have found a facet. They found others that are like them, people who are very interested in doing this. And the Internet was the key to a lot of this. And as people started to communicate on the Internet, they found a lot of solace, as I did, in finding a lot of information on this. And I wanted there to be a ghost hunting group in Indiana, and I really strongly wanted something that I could join or be a part of. And at that time, there was nothing that I could join, nowhere to really go. The group that had been here before us had problems. You know, the founder had run off with money or something like that. And I wanted to start something up. As I did, it went almost immediately from just like a handful of members to right through the roof. You know, we had 40, 50, 60 members right off the bat. People from around the state started to contact the Indiana Ghost Trackers and said, you know, we would like you to investigate, or we would like to be a part of what you are doing, of what you have become. And we've built upon that credibility over all these years to become, you know, what we are today, you know, a very, very strong group of over 400 members. The Northwest Indiana group alone, I'm told, has over 100 members by itself. There are people from all over the state who are interested in doing this, more so every year as they realize what it is that ghost hunters really do. And I think that the more aware people become of this, the more people are going to want to be a part of it. And it's just a very fascinating outlet for people to join these kinds of groups and be a part of it. And, you know, and I'm honored. I'm really honored to be the president, founder, and CEO of the Indiana Ghost Trackers, because I didn't.
I'm honored just to know you. I mean, to work with you is just fantastic. You know.
Well, thank you. I had no idea when I started up this little group what it would become. I just wanted a place to ghost hunt.
Right.
That was it. You know, I just wanted to be a part of something and to go ghost hunting. But my sensibilities are, I don't want to limit that to any one person or any 6 or 12 people. I want to make that open to as many people as I can, and I've always wanted to do that. I've always wanted to allow any number of people to join the Indiana Ghost Trackers and be a part of what we're doing and try and manage that the best I can. And that's something that's very different in most paranormal groups that are out there, because most of them that are out there will limit themselves to their very structured few members and no more. And no more.
All right. Well, let's talk about us Dead Whispers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to take you and just run you right through the mill here. In your opinion, during the filming of these three locations that we did, do you think at any time anything was compromised, meaning everything we captured was authentic and real? Do you feel at any time was compromised?
No, I don't feel anything was compromised in any way. I think that everything was very valid. We only want to use the most authentic, information that we can to relay to our viewers. Everything, you know, about myself and about everything with the group is based upon our credibility. And as ghost hunters, you live and die by your credibility. So everything that we, you know, bring forward is actual evidence that we've collected at the site. Some of the people that are part of this group, like Michael and myself, are very, very good at working with EVP. We've done it for years. We've been very successful at it, and we were very successful on this project. We had a couple of major sites that we hoped and we had a good thought would produce some good EVP for us. You know, we also have been blessed to work with great people like Michelle and Chris, Michelle being a very good investigator and Chris being a very good cameraman and an investigator as well. And, of course, with you, Robbie, because it's always a pleasure to work with psychics who are very sensitive and very knowledgeable and can pick up on these things. And to back that information up with scientific evidence is just outstanding.
Yeah, because there was a couple times, more than a couple times, you looked at me at a, and you were, it wasn't a test, but you wanted me to confirm what you had. And when I did that, the big smile came on, you shook my hand, and it was just like, wow, you know what I mean?
Right.
It was amazing. It was good. You know, because I notice how you work, and it's like everybody that works under you, you guys really look deep to make sure it's right. You're not just going to say anything. You're going to make sure it's right.
Right. I mean, and you can see it from what happened with those investigators, for instance, when they all heard that voice that said the F you. When everybody heard that, what was the first thought that came to our minds? Not let's run out and scream, not let's start crying, but who said it? Where did it come from?
Right.
Let's track down the source. Could it have been a TV? Could it have been something? You know, you're looking to cross out everything that it could have rationally been first. And that's why, you know, that's what we train our investigators to do in the Indiana Ghost Trackers, is to look for rational explanations. We're very skeptical in what we do. We rationalize what happens. We look for the rational answers.
That's true. That's true. Is there a caller on the line?
Yeah, 30 seconds.
Oh, we got 30 seconds. Well, Michael, and we have 30 seconds. Give us a fast breakdown of what you think this whole trip was like, and give it to us.
I think it was a wonderful trip. I think it was a great opportunity. I look forward to doing many more with these, with you guys again. I'm really looking forward to it, making it onto a major network and being part of something that is a little bit different from some of the other ghost hunting shows that are out there.
Keep an eye, folks. www.deadwhisper.com. God bless. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Robbie.
Have a great night.
You too.
And good night to everybody.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.